Good morning. Last week, I talked with an educational radical. I talked with a professor who told me that in the class he teaches, 15% of the students buy the textbook. 15% total, new, used, just 15%. Now, a few years ago, any publisher who heard that wouldn't have touched this guy with a 10-foot slide rule. But now, one of the most respected educational publishers in the world wants to sign him as an author. And here's why. When he saw his students using their smartphones in class, he asked them what they were doing. Were they texting their buddies? Were they playing Mafia Wars? As it turned out, they were going to the professor's website to access content to enhance what he was saying in the lecture. And right then and there, he got it. He got the point. He began developing a digital course with interactive case studies, virtual reality field trips, and more. Enrollment in his class has soared from 100 to 500, and it would be more if his college could put in a bigger lecture hall. And he's seen his students' grades improve by as much as 10%. That professor gets it. He understands that when an educator sits down to write a textbook, his or her real objective is not to make a book. Author's real objective is to take the experience they have in the classroom with their students and replicate that experience across thousands of classrooms. Now, until this century, the only way to do that was to write it down on paper and make it into a book. Now, we all know the unique virtues of print: permanence, high resolution, a uniform user experience. And we've been immersed in that user experience for so many centuries, for so long, that in many people's minds, the contents and the container seem to be one and the same. Now, the professor I told you about is a radical, because he's setting the content free from the container. Now, without some kind of container, though, content won't travel very far, about as far as the professor's voice. And that's why we're here, to merge content with the new generation of containers that are on college campuses and beyond. Now, the new containers are e-readers, smartphones, tablets, and what they have in common is mobility. But being mobile isn't what makes them special. After all, what's more mobile than a book? If you just take a book, make it into a PDF, put it on a smartphone or tablet, all you've done is make it not so heavy to carry around. Now, that's convenient, and one of the best things about mobile devices is convenience. Not only does a tablet or smartphone let you carry a lightweight gadget around instead of a heavy book, it lets you carry one lightweight gadget instead of dozens of heavy books. So we like mobile devices because they lighten our load. But we also like them because they put the world at our fingertips. They use indexing, document tagging, metadata to let us find far more information than what's written in the books that we store on them. But convenience is really an attribute of the container, the mobile device. And the real game changer is how we can think about the content, how students, instructors, researchers, and other professionals use the content. Now, what we do at Precision Graphics is to take ideas and make them visual to enhance their usefulness to the end user. Now, the first level of enhanced usage is dynamic content. There's video, there's audio, you can pause and replay. This is an especially powerful way to show changes over time and multi-step processes. But the viewer is still basically passive. You can't change the content or get feedback. So you take enhanced usage to the next level, and you add interactivity. Interactive graphics like this one allow you to play with and manipulate the content by entering new data or by moving a slider or part of the display. Another type of visual we do in this category is pictures that you can navigate. I put my favorite molecule up there, caffeine, that we can do with the category is pictures that you can navigate or rotate in 3D. I was interested that Alex mentioned cooking as a good example of how this interactivity can really be an added value. Because a couple of months ago, I went here in Boston to an e-publishing seminar where a representative of the trade publisher Adams Media talked about a mobile version of a cookbook that they publish and how each recipe generates a list of ingredients you can read on your smartphone at the supermarket. Well, teachers shop for ingredients too. Reading, listening, and viewing assignments, exercises, labs, quizzes, customization is the level of enhanced usage that in the cooking analogy, this is where the teacher is shopping for ingredients. Or the teacher in some programs can build them from scratch to create their own curriculum. In addition to curriculum building tools for teachers, there are also powerful software tools for guided learning with some built-in intelligence to analyze which questions, and this is again, very much in the line with what Alex was talking about, these guided exercises analyze which questions students answered correctly and which ones they had trouble with, and use that to assign the next round of questions or tutorials to the individual student. By the way, this and the previous example are from My Math Lab, published by Pearson Education. And in the cookbook analogy, this is where you have all the ingredients back from the store and you spread them out on the counter and measure and mix them. Navigation. Navigation tools make it easy for teachers to guide their students through content in a course-driven way. This example shows how teachers create important managed homework and quizzes that are automatically graded. Now, for each step of enhancing usage, integrates the content with the tools that make it attractive, easy to understand, and functional on the container or the delivery platform. And as we move down this list, we're engaging more and more in what is called instructional design. At Precision Graphics, we've traditionally done production. Starting with printed textbooks, we became known for a combination of visual presentation and technical execution. Now, for printed textbooks, publishers supply a combination of content knowledge and teaching tools. In the move to digital, publishers are learning new core competencies and, in the process, aligning themselves with partners who bring technical and creative skills. We at Precision Graphics find ourselves increasingly called upon to blend pedagogy with production. And when those two intersect, that's where instructional design happens. George Siemens, president of Complexive Systems, says this vital role ensures that the subject matter experts' concepts are properly developed by graphic designers and programmers. I was head of a creative team at D.C. Heath, later head of a production department at Academic Press Elsevier Science, and I taught book design right down the street at Northeastern University, and now I'm the East Coast face of Precision Graphics. We have 40 incredibly talented people doing illustration, animation, graphic, and instructional design and art development. And what all that has taught me is that creativity isn't just a matter of making things look good. It requires looking deeper into the concept that the author is trying to teach, and asking what's the best way to express this content visually. In 1988, when I was stocking my house with books for my 4-year-old son and my 1-year-old daughter, the British publisher Dorling Kindersley revolutionized design for learning with eyewitness books. Their creator, Peter Kindersley, gave a lecture across the street at the Boston Public Library where he described his inspiration. He said, "I didn't ask what should a book look like. He asked, how do people learn? In a traditional book, the text is what leads your eye through the page, and occasionally it points you off to a picture off to the side somewhere. The radical idea of eyewitness books is that the images move your eye around the page. The images provide the core information and lead your eye to supporting blocks of text. Now, many publishers have tried to imitate the look of eyewitness books, but they rarely succeed because they don't get Kindersley's secret. For the visuals to carry your story, you need really good visuals. Now, the richer user experience that's available on mobile devices challenges our visual creativity to use static images, 3D images, animation, and video to guide the reader not just through the page, but any place the author wants to send us, and even to places the author never dreamed of. An outstanding example that you may have seen is Theo Gray's The Elements. Theo was at Wolfram Research, and he spent years collecting, photographing, and cataloging all the elements in the periodic table. He published his work in a poster and a big fat coffee table book, and then last year he leaped at the opportunity to put it on the iPad. Theo Gray wanted readers to have the experience, the same experience that visitors to his office had, of being able to pick up and examine each specimen. He had an extraordinary collection of content, and he had successfully delivered it via two different containers, two audiences, as a book and as a poster. But the arrival of mobile devices with powerful image displays opened up his perspective. There's the content, and there's the container, but there's also the context. Print gave publishers great, great control over the user experience. You knew exactly what people were going to do with a book. Mobile devices, and this is where it gets scary, because mobile devices take some of that control away from the publisher and share it with the reader and even with the developer of the device platform. So when a publisher tells me that he or she wants to deliver content via mobile devices, the first thing I ask them is not, what content have you got? My first question is, what will readers do with the content? Context means this. Your content alone mustn't constrain your instructional design, and the container shouldn't constrain it either, be it an e-reader, a tablet, or a smartphone. Was kind of interested in something that Rolf said before about video, that it's a mistake to decide, well, because my delivery system supports video, I'm going to throw some video in here. That's the tail wagging the dog. Video has to be integrally connected to the content and to the reader's purpose in using the content. Otherwise, the instructional design doesn't come together. Good instructional design takes a careful blending of content and what you want your audience to do with your content. Get a clear vision of the content and of the desired user experience, and then you're ready to put them in context by deciding which platforms, which containers, can deliver your content best and which ones are most used by your target audience. The textbook publisher, D.C. Heath, used to be a subsidiary of the high-tech company Raytheon. And the president of Raytheon once remarked, oddly enough, standing right about where that screen is, in this room, once remarked that D.C. Heath was their only subsidiary that wasn't technologically based. What he meant was, customers choose one radar system over another because of its physical properties, its workmanship, the materials, the performance characteristics. But chemistry textbooks all have the same physical attributes. They're all made of the same paper, the same ink, the same glue. Customers choose one over another because of the unique learning experience it will give the reader. Now, the president of Raytheon got it. The professor I just told you about got it. Theo Gray and his Elements project got it. What we're creating may look like a paper book, it may look like an ebook or a mobile app, but it's more than any of those things. It's a learning experience. Thank you.